It's here and now. The new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, broke box office records over the weekend, raking in $238 million. That makes it the biggest North American debut of all time, easily topping the previous record, $208 million, that Jurassic World brought in just over the summer. Worldwide, The Force Awakens made more than $500 million. So what is it about Star Wars and its storyline that explains that kind of popularity? Let's bring in Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, I saw it last night, and it was a lot of fun, and I'm not even a big Star Wars person, but how do you explain that popularity, that it has become such an enormous hit, making over $500 million around the world?
So Star Wars shatters every record it can touch. Just a few weeks after the singer Adele shattered the record for most albums sold in a week. And I think about these two things together. And, you know, one unavoidable similarity is that they're both sequels. And now each is the fastest selling sequel in its respective category, music and movies. These aren't exceptions to the rule about culture. This is the rule. Commercially speaking, pop culture is in the business of sequels, producing fresh iterations on familiar products. And the value of those sequels is just going to continue to grow as audiences get richer and as the global audience grows. But it says something deeper, too. Critics hope that success is a reflection of quality. But the truer thing is that success in most cultural products is a reflection of familiarity. Every year, there are a great many weird albums that sell nothing, and brilliant movies make less than $50 million. Star Wars made $50 million before Breakfast on Friday. So the deeper reason that franchises work is that people don't like new things as much as we think we do. What we like are old things made new again and again and again. And the old made new is Star Wars in a nutshell.
And yet not every sequel does well. Why can't if this is the secret to success, then why can't Hollywood make this happen with more regularity, just have an enormous hit that makes so much money?
Yeah, there just aren't enough seats in the Pantheon. since the 1940s, the number of movie tickets bought per American has fallen from about 30 to about 4. So the shrinking demographics of movie audiences has very much changed the movies. Studios only have so many shots to steer this herd towards cineplexes, and they spend $300 million per blockbuster to create these must-see events. So, you know, people often say this strategy has made television more like movies by pushing all the good stories that aren't superhero sequels to TV. But equally true is that it's made the movies more like TV. What's this Star Wars called again? Episode 7?
Yeah.
You know, studios are in the business of telling stories that don't end, and that's what a TV show is.
Well, and many people would say right now that a lot of the best stuff out there is on TV and not in the movie theaters. But there's also, I mean, this goes well beyond the theater. They are making money on all kinds of toys and things that you can buy, that there are R2-D2 humidifiers, C-3PO mac and cheese, and all kinds of commercials. This is a gold mine.
And this isn't new. Here's the Cleveland Plain dealer describing a boy's room in 1935. In his room, this is a quote, in his room, bordered with Mickey Mouse wallpaper and lighted with Mickey Mouse lamps, his Mickey Mouse alarm clock awakens him. He puts on his Mickey Mouse moccasins and rushes to the bathroom to the soap made in the Disney manner. End quote. This is Disney again. The Times in 1937 called this industrialized fantasy. They thought it would literally save the economy, merchandising art. It didn't save the economy, but it has remade entertainment. The toys used to be advertisements for the movies. Now we all know that the movies are best described as advertisements for the toys.
But what is it about this story, about Star Wars, that has made so many people love it so much? What are the themes, do you think, that really get – because you could say this is a story about a family. There's always the father and son here. There are also – it's a political story. It's a story about space and exploration. But what do you think?
So Star Wars and Harry Potter are the two most successful movie franchises on a per-film basis in history. And they both hit a really similar sweet spot. Tell me which story is a saga about a boy whose parents are gone, who seems at first ordinary but is asked to learn a magical skill, go on a great adventure, makes close friends including a boy, a girl, and an old wise advisor, and becomes a hero by killing a black-clad enemy involved in the death of his father. This story arc is Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces. It's fantasy, it's drama, its aspiration, its relatability. It's a fairy tale for kids that adults can adore. Lots of writers have tried to get this formula right, and I think you just have to throw up your hands and say, look, George Lucas and J.K. Rowling got it perfect.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, talking with us about the new Star Wars movie, which has made more than $500 million so far. And by the way, if you go to our website, hereandnow.org, you can listen to that original NPR review of the first Star Wars movie from 1977. Susan Stamberg, don't miss that. It's a great thing to listen to. Derek, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.